going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. If you're on Facebook, you probably saw an inbox over the past several days. It went something like this. Quote, "Hey, I actually got another friend request from you yesterday, which I ignored, so you may want to check your account." It went on to instruct you to forward the message and to not accept friend requests from the sender. Well, Facebook says it's a hoax, and to ignore it. Besides being annoying, what's really going on with this message and others like it? We're talking about what's real and what's not on social media and what that means for you. My guests are Takiyah Young, a science, tech, engineering, and math expert, and Ingrid Sturgis, tech expert and associate professor of new media here at Howard University. Give us a call if you have a question about that message or any of the other issues that you may see on social media that you may think are problematic. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Takiyah, thanks for coming in. Good to see you again.
Yes, it is great being here in the studio again.
Thank you so much. Ingrid, thank you for coming in. I appreciate
it. Thank you. I'm glad this is my first time. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to your expertise. What is going on with that crazy message? I got probably about 100 of them from my 4,999 Facebook friends.
Well, I'm not sure what exactly was going on. It's probably just a hoax. And I think I don't think that it was a malignant hoax. I think it was just a hoax that was annoying to people. And a lot of people fell for it. I had a lot of friends who fell for that. And I told them that I just ignored it because it didn't sound like the friend that it was coming from. Mm-hmm. So I just told them to ignore it. And I don't know that anybody really did ignore it. I think everybody responded to it.
I think so. I got one from my mother. I got one from my sister. I got one from quite a few people. And for, you know, people like my mother, who is a beautiful 76 years old, you know, she paid attention to it. Mm-hmm. But Takiyah, Facebook says ignore it. From your perspective, what is this? What's happening here?
Basically, it's just contemporary chain mail. It's just pass it on. I think one of the key issues with the message was that, and of course, so there were a couple of tweaks with it, but the key thing to note in the message was that the beginning of it said, "I received a friend request from a cloned message." However, most people who passed the message on did not receive a friend request. So they were just passing it on because the bottom of the message said, "Please share this with all of your friends." So what was happening is that people were just sharing the message, even though they hadn't received a cloned friend request. So I just think it was just confusion. And just really, it's contemporary chain mail. It's just passing it on. And that's really it. It was 100% a hoax. There was no breach of information. Mm-hmm. And I think it really was just banking on people's fears around technology, especially considering, you know, what happened back in September, as well as March with the Facebook breach that happened back then. But, you know, there's a clear distinction of what happened this past Sunday and what happened back then. You know, back then, Facebook put an official message indicating on the platform that there was an issue and they forced everyone to log back in. Whereas now, if you notice, Facebook didn't say anything official because it's really just a hoax. It's just bad chain mail and people, unfortunately, not reading the message that they're receiving very clearly. So
you describe this as a cloned message. What is a cloned message?
Well, really, it's a cloned account. So a cloned account is basically when someone has access to your pictures and login information and they attempt to create, not even login information, they have access to maybe some pertinent information about you as well as maybe your name and maybe a picture, and they attempt to create an account on Facebook or some other social media platform using your information, thus creating a separate account. And most people are afraid of that, of course. But if you see that happening, one way to figure that out is to just search for your name. If you see your picture and your name and it's not the account that you're logged in on, then you might have a cloned account. And that does happen every now and then, but not at the level that happened this past weekend.
So what should you do about something like that, Ingrid?
Because you
mentioned something called malignant.
Yes.
messages?
Well, you need to reach out to the social media company and tell them that this is happening to you and let them know that this is a problem, and they'll investigate it and they'll end it. But it happens quite a bit. I've had a few friends that it happens to, and they don't know that it's happening. So you also have to notify the person whose clone is reaching out to you to let them know that there is a problem. And I think that was kind of like what happened with this recent incident. Everybody thought that they were being cloned and they had to do something when actually it wasn't. But you should let people know that they are, that something's coming from them, and that they need to reach out to the social media company, be it Twitter or Facebook, to get rid of it.
Can they expect to hear from Mr. Zuckerberg if they're reaching
out? I don't think so, no.
Probably not. Probably not.
But will they be responsive?
Yeah, they are generally responsive, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook even has a way to do it. You go to the, if you type in, you can search reporting a hacked account, and they'll give you a link. There's also a way to report a cloned account. So there's two separate things. There's a hacked account, which a lot of people mm-hmm. experience, and then there are cloned accounts, which, people experience, but not as much. Mm-hmm. But there are ways to report it. And people trust social media enough to have accounts. But for some reason, when something like this happens, they tend not to trust themselves and social media. And, it becomes this like ball of fear that just gets added on. And for the most part, you really should just ignore it, which is what I did. I saw the message and I just ignored it. I literally didn't read anything into it. I just thought,
I did the same thing.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about what's real and what's not real on social media, what that means for you. Don't fall for the okey-doke hoaxes on social media. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Janelle, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Janelle. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold.
Hi.
Great to talk to you.
Sure.
I listen to the show every night.
Thank you.
I'm calling because I am actually a health professional, and we're very excited. We have a Facebook. We have an Instagram. But once we got some more information, I got concerned about people being able to lift my picture, my likeness, and my videos off of Instagram and using them for their own purposes. The second part of the question is, can your guest speak to reputation monitoring? And do I really need to get an attorney to remove these negative comments? People saying I killed them in the ER, I don't even work in the ER, stuff like that.
Wow, that's an interesting
question.
Yeah.
It's hard to get those off. I have like a minor that actually sent a negative review onto our Google reviews. I'm getting trashed on Google and Yelp. And it's very, very hard to remove that. So do I just need an attorney? So can your guest please speak to those two issues?
Sure.
Well, one of the things that you could do is just monitor your social media on Google every now and again, and check Google and search for your name and see what comes up. And when something comes up, I always tell people that they should also have their own website and their own LinkedIn account, because sometimes you can overwhelm the negative messages with positive messages by just maintaining an active presence online.
Yeah, definitely. And I, of course, in terms of monitoring one's profile, definitely you can do that, by having your own domains. I think when there are negative reports, typically you can report it to the platform that you're using, and typically they'll address it. Sometimes some of the platforms address it as soon as possible. Some of them don't. And as was mentioned, sometimes you can override some of the negative comments with positive comments. I will say that in terms of an attorney, when it comes to the minor, I would have someone look at it. I don't know if you necessarily need to have somebody on retainer just for that. You do want to manage your own social media presence. I would say that when it's a minor, if it's a real minor, then yes, there's an issue. But if it's someone perpetrating as a minor and it's not actually a real account, it's typically easy to figure out whether it's a spam account or real account. You can have someone look at the IP address. There are things you can do, but if you are having a major concern and you do want to contract a lawyer, I would get someone who understands intellectual property as well as an IP lawyer, and someone who understands technology, someone who actually specifically works with technology businesses. You are in a health space, so that's...
I'm sorry. Is that a communications lawyer or... Am I specifically looking for an internet lawyer? Because I hear what you all are saying, but they really don't take them off. Unless they're basically, you know, calling you out of your name or using profanity, they won't take it off.
Right.
So, you know, they won't do it. You can kind of shut down your Yelp and reopen it, but in healthcare, I think doctors have done a class action suit against Yelp and lost.
Right. And Yelp is a unique situation. I would say in general, as was mentioned before, I think managing your profile by having your own reviews and having those in a verified way was probably the best way to coincide and to supersede what's existing online.
Okay. Janelle, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about what's real and what's not on social media and what it means to you. If you have a question, give us a call. Let's go to Charisse calling from Maryland. Charisse, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Charisse, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go right ahead. Turn your radio down. Go right ahead, please.
Okay. My concern is I haven't had a Facebook account for over 2 years, and somehow or another, I get these text messages saying it's from Facebook, saying that I have a friend request, but I haven't been on Facebook for over 2 years. And the other weird thing is I've changed my cell phone number, but somehow they're text messaging me to my phone. I don't know how that happens.
Thoughts, ladies?
Well, there are people out there who just send messages to mass numbers. My husband actually has this problem. He keeps getting unidentified callers calling his cell phone to leave messages or to talk to him about things. And unfortunately, that's a difficult situation because I don't think there's necessarily a resolution to it other than banning the message. The person who's calling you, I don't think there's too much you can do because there are so many people out there who are doing it. It just keeps happening and happening. And it may not be Facebook at all. It just might be somebody who has your number, who's reaching out to you to get you to go onto Facebook to do something else. So the basic thing that you have to do is just ignore it and ban the number and keep them from reaching out to you. It's going to be somebody else. And it's just banning and banning and banning more.
Mm. Charisse, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Alvin calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Alvin. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a quick question. The first one, I had two, but the two one, you answered my first question. My second question. I have my first, middle, and last name on my Facebook account. All of a sudden, from nowhere, my first and last name appeared for a second Facebook account. The first one has my profile information, where I graduated, lived, on and on and on. The second one does not have that paper information. How can I delete the second a Facebook account that I have out there?
Okay, great. Well, the first thing is if it's not actually you who's created the second account, then you can actually report it to Facebook, and you can basically go to, it's basically called a clone account, and if you go to facebook.com/help/fake account, you'll find the information. If that URL is too long, if you type in your browser Facebook and fake account, you'll see a link on how to report a fake account, and they'll handle it if it is in fact a cloned account. Now, if it's something where maybe it's an account that you might have created in the past that's lingering, or there's someone who actually has a similar name to you and the image is different, that's also a possibility as well. For a long time, I was the only Takiya Young on Facebook, and now there are a lot of other young ladies who now have the same name, same spelling. However, because I was there longer, I show up the most, and my images are the ones that show up under my name. So it could just be that someone has a similar name to you, but if it is an actual cloned account, you can go to facebook.com/help/fake account.
Okay, Alvin, thank you so much. Yes, you are the one and only, the original Takiya Young. So
yes.
Need to take a break. Angelia calling from Waldorf. We're going to talk to you next. Please do not hang up. We will take your phone call. The rest of you, lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about what's fake and what's real on social media. If you have a question, give us a call. We're taking questions even after 7:30. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM, channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 140. Sure, tonight we are talking about what's real and what's not on social media and what that means for you. My guests are Takiya Young. She is a science, tech, engineering, and math expert. And Ingrid Sturgis. She is a tech expert and associate professor of new media here at Howard University. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Still taking your phone calls, so please keep calling. Lots of questions, lots of help here. Angelia, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. I have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
I have the service my bank provides. When you put it on, you know, you have your account and you can check on it. You know, through an app online. And one of the things, because they provide, like, I guess identity theft, they provide anything that comes up. Now, something that they sent me just recently and said that my email address had appeared on the dark web. What the heck is that? And how do I protect myself? Because, you know, your email account, my email account is connected to a lot of things. And those things are connected to credit cards or, you know, monetary accounts that I have. So could you explain what the dark web, I think it says
sure.
the dark web. Or
the dark, web. Yes, the dark web, D-A-R-K. Who wants to jump in with that?
Well, the dark web actually is just an extension of the World Wide Web that we all use. It's just a place that's less accessible than the one that we access every day on social media or on Google. It's just something that normal people don't have access to, but people with greater technical capabilities can access information. And unfortunately, because we've had all of these hacking situations and breaches of data on all of these major company websites, some of our information may be in that place simply because of the number of times that these websites have been breached. And the terrible thing is that we may not know that it exists, and you're very lucky that your bank told you about it. Now, how you get yourself off of it, I'm not really sure that you can do it. However, there are some things that you can do to protect yourself going forward.
What can you do to protect yourself? Because one of the other issues as it relates to discussions about the dark web is that there are companies that say that they can provide some sense of security from the dark web. And one of the other things, Angelia, that the dark web may be known for or infamous for is where there may be malevolent, underhanded activity going on. It has been suggested that that is where child trafficking happens, where there buckle up. All kinds of criminal activity and the like. But because it is the dark web, it's kind of like the black holes in space. We just don't know that much about it. But what do you do, as you were suggesting, Ingrid, what do you do to protect yourself just in general from these kinds of security breach issues?
Unfortunately, I'm not sure there's a whole lot you can do once you're out there. However, going forward, you should always make sure that you have a very secure password, which means or something that's really long with many characters. That's a phrase rather than just a word. It also means that you might want to invest in what's called two-factor authentication, meaning you have your cell phone that sends you a code that you use as your password when you sign on. There's also something called a virtual private network. And that's a little bit more complicated, but if you search for virtual private networks, you can set up something that makes it a little bit more secure because you have your own network that you're using to conduct business or email over. And those are just a few things that you can do.
Yeah, and in addition to that, you can also make sure that you update your password. I would say if your password is the same for many platforms, then you would change it. That's something that you can do. I always recommend people to have a couple of formulas, and I know my mind maybe thinks this way, but none of my passwords are exactly the same, but I do what is similar is that my formula is similar. So someone would have to know my formula in order to know my password. So all my passwords are actually very different. And so that's something that you can do is switch up your password every now and then. Even if you just rotate them a little bit every now and then, it may not be as secure as a unique one for every single site, but that's something to do. In addition to that, I would say that I tend not to do third-party sign-in. So, for example, have you seen where it says, please log into this using your Facebook login?
Yes.
Or please log into this using your Gmail login? I don't mind Gmail as much because I find that Gmail and Google tends to be a little bit more secure because they sometimes have second- and third-party authentication. However, I would say that I never use the Facebook login unless something forces me to. I don't ever use the Facebook login. I don't ever use the social media login. I always create an individual login for every right. single account that I have. In addition to that, I only on my computer, I only save passwords for accounts that I actually don't mind if someone has access to it. So my banking, my private information, I don't have any of those passwords actually saved on my computer. I have them saved elsewhere. Some people tend to, if you need to write them down and have them somewhere where it's separate from your computer, whatever you need to do, but you might even begin to incorporate your own second party authentication on your own so that all the information is not housed in the same location so that someone, if they have access to one thing, they won't have access to everything.
Okay. And make sure you do not use the same password for all of your accounts. Change your passwords for each and every single account and make sure that they're not even remotely related.
And I think, and I can hear the anguish of Angelia, you know, and I think, you know, the reality is that a lot of people struggle with remembering passwords because a lot of people don't just have one bank account. A lot of people log in for car repairs. They may log in for their Gmail account. They have to log in for their Howard University email account. And then they have to log in for their child's health chart. And then they have to log in for their health chart. So, you know, how do you remember all of these things and protect yourself, whether it's formulaic, as you're suggesting, or what? How do you do that?
Well, I have two suggestions. I mean, if you're not able to remember, there are services out there, and I'm not going to name any in particular, but there are some password saver programs and software that's available. So there's that. Something that I do is separate out my email. So things like subscriptions, store emails, things like that, I have that go to one separate account. So, for example, my store email account, I'll use that to sign up for a range of things that really aren't that important. And so for those accounts, I don't mind it being one password. But then for the things that are more secure, then I have a separate password for those. So let's say, for example, you have 15 store accounts. You could use that one email address for all of those stores and thus have the same password for that. Whereas the things as your medical records, you know, your banking information, maybe you might have 5 to 7 of those secure logins, then those can be unique. So that way you only end up having the 7 unique ones plus the one store one for 15 different accounts. So, you know, figuring out what works best for you. And then in some cases, you know, you might have to write them down, you know, and then shred it every 3 months. Decide, okay, I'm going to switch them up, or every 6 months, or change the location of where the passwords are looked. You know, you might have to just do that due diligence.
Yeah, just don't hide them from yourself.
Yes, just don't hide them from yourself.
You can't find them.
I'm the person that loses the password and can't remember what the password is. And so I've just become accustomed to just changing it. I automatically, if I can't remember it after a couple of times, I just change it and don't worry about it if I have to change it again. So my mindset is not that I have to remember it anymore. My mindset, especially for security purposes, is just go ahead and change it and go on with another one. And if I can't remember that one, I change the next one too. Mm-hmm. So I don't even try to remember them, and I'm not really good at writing them down. So I just say just change it and just change your mindset to say that I don't have to save every one of these passwords. There's no reason why I can't change it and then change it again.
Okay, Angelia, thank you so much for giving us a call. Good luck to you. Let's talk to Joe. Joe calling from Forestville. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind?
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Wonderful. Yeah, I was hacked about 5 years ago, and when I tried to have it removed, I called a number that I found on Google to say, you know, say something about Facebook problems. And I called it. I got a voice from someone. Sounded like they were from India or somewhere. Well, when they attempted to help me, they asked for money. They said, "Well,
of course they did.
We're going to help you. We need XYZ amount of money, and you must pay." I said, "Why do I have to pay?" Because your account is hacked, and we need to get rid of this right away. And they try to put pressure on me, saying that I need to pay. I said, I'm not paying.
Well, Joe, let me stop you right there, because both of my experts here know exactly what you're talking about. What is he talking about?
Well, there are these, and I'm not sure how they get your information, but it seems to happen a lot on Windows computers sometimes. And what it is that somebody is monitoring your behavior online, and somehow they get a hold of your phone number, and they call you, and they want you to pay for these services. And I tell you, truth be told, my husband actually did pay for the service, and I had to tell him, don't re-up. It's a scam.
Don't you know what I do for a living, honey?
It's a scam.
Ask me
it's
first.
It's a scam.
Right.
So it really is a scam, and you just tell them no, and you're going to report them to the government or something, and usually they turn tail and run.
Yeah. But there are, for what kind of computer do you have? A PC? Do you have a Mac, Joe? What?
Well, we have a PC, but I use my phone, and that's when I noticed they were hacking because I was out of town.
Mm-hmm. What kind of phone? Is it a Samsung? Is it
Samsung? Samsung Galaxy Note.
Okay, so I'll let you tell that tale to Kia. He just got to call them.
Yeah. So I think, okay, the first thing you mentioned was that you went to Google and you searched to find some support. So what I'll say is this: in general, any company, so when you go to Google and you put in a search item, you're going to see some items on top that might be ads, and there are going to be some items on the bottom. For other businesses, some of them have paid to be on top. Some of them have used SEO, search engine optimization.
And what is that? Because I just didn't understand the word you
okay,
just said.
Okay, yes. So any business can do their due diligence and basically, you know, use the Google services to be on top of the search engine results. There's that. And if someone has been able to really utilize certain keywords, no matter what you type in around, let's say, assistance around being hacked, their ads are going to pop up on top. So just because something is advertised in your Google search results, it doesn't mean that it is a business that may or may not be in your best interest. So you still have to do your due diligence when you contact them. So it sounds like that you might have noticed some information, some kind of breach on your account, and you went to get help. However, the people you went to get help from were not really that helpful. Instead, they took advantage of it because they know people are looking for assistance. And so
how should he avoid that?
So to avoid that, if you have issues on your phone, similar to with a computer, change your passwords, change your logins. You might even want to call your service provider. I'm not sure who your provider is. You don't necessarily need to announce it right now, but I will contact your service provider to make sure that your number isn't listed somewhere. I would check where your number is listed, and maybe either update it if you know that you're receiving phone calls. Also, it could just be that you've received a phone call from telemarketers. Sometimes you sign up for something, and then your name and email address gets added to a list. That happens to me every now and then. Whenever I change something with my business or I go to a new conference or something, the moment I log in or add my telephone number and business email address, I get a whole bunch of things in the mail and a whole bunch of new telephone calls. So you may have to just keep updating that. And then the second thing you should do is, if you are looking for assistance, I would check with a couple of companies first. The moment they mention that anything sounds off, then probably it's off. And I would ask a local expert to help you. And that would be the first thing I would do. So change your information. Check to see where your telephone number has been used recently. Most likely, if they're calling you on your phone, most likely there's been a change with something in your technology, whether your telephone or email or something like that. And then, of course, check people's reviews and credentials before using a service that you go online. And then make sure that you're actually using a recommended service that shows up in the SEO as opposed to just an ad.
Mm-hmm. Joe, thank you so much for your phone call. Good luck to you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more about what's true and what's false on social media and what it means to you. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about what's real and what's not on social media and what that means to you. Let's talk about some of the other social media platforms we've been kind of focusing on Twitter and even, I'm sorry, focusing on Facebook and even email and the like. But what about the other popular ones, such as Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and are there still the same kinds of security issues for those, and how might they present, Ingrid?
Well, some of them are related because Google owns YouTube, Facebook owns Instagram, and so sometimes the data breach that happens in one spreads to the other because they're all interconnected. Now, I think you can sign on to Instagram using your Facebook account, and you can do the same with YouTube. As a matter of fact, they push you into one sign-on and one email and sign-on to make it easier, quote unquote, for you, but it makes it easier for them to capture more of your information no matter what platform you're on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that you know, while more information is available and it's interconnected, I do think that, you know, Facebook really aggregates, I think, the most information. I mean, not only demographic information, but psychographic information. Of course, the other platforms gather that too, but not as much as Facebook does. And I think, like I said earlier, unless I am forced to log in with a universal login, I always create a separate login. And I do think when there's a breach in one area, there can be in another. But I don't think it's as bad. Like, for example, when there was that breach of information back in, I think, September with Facebook, or maybe it was March. I know there were two issues that most people didn't have an issue on Instagram. But what I will say, with Instagram, you have more post spammers. People are just trying to get business. So there are a lot of, I know people are used to the synthetic hair spammers on Instagram. Like, that's a common one. You might see something with like these Russian accounts or pseudo Russian accounts. We don't really know if they're really Russian accounts, but you see those kind of accounts. But for the most part, you won't see it as much as you might see it in other platforms and spammers. But even on your own website, like, I get spam on my website. Similar to that, you have to have set up, accounts and software set up on your website to make sure that even spam doesn't happen there. So I think if you're going to be engaged online, you have to realize that at some point there's going to be somebody out there or something trying to get your information. So you have to just be mindful of what information you're willing to put out there, how you want to protect it, and also just check on it, right? I think the internet is not a set it and forget it kind of situation. You still need to check and maintain your accounts. You should still log in and check your activity. Every now and then, specifically with Facebook as well as Instagram, I will go to my activity and see my activity log just to see what's being posted out there. I mean, if you're concerned about being breached or something is happening, you're not sure, check your own profile. Use the view as setting on Facebook, or check your activity log, and it shows you where you've posted, where you've commented, what you've liked. And that's one way you can check for yourself. As opposed to being reactionary, one can be proactive around checking your profiles and making sure that everything's good. And once again, change your passwords, more often than not.
Is it possible, if you are a professional, an active member of this community in 2018, to live off the grid, as they say, don't you have to be connected in one way, shape, or form? Unless, of course, you're like living up in the mountains and chopping wood and shooting deer and like.
I don't think you have to be. I have two friends that I speak to regularly who are not on social media at all. They have zero social media accounts. The challenge, though, is for them professionally and socially, they're a little bit unplugged.
So how you talk to them? Smoke signals?
Yeah,
you send a carrier picture?
We talk by text and telephone, but then sometimes, I even had a friend the other day say, you know, I feel a little bit, there was so much going on this weekend, I didn't know what's going on. And I said, well, that's because you're not on social media. I mean, that's what's going to happen. So, you know, people are no longer sending text messages to let you know what's going on, unless it's a secret private event. For the most part, it's shown on Facebook, it's shown on social media. Professionally, we have LinkedIn, which originally was more of a social platform, but then, you know, about 12 years ago, it shifted from being just a social platform to being more of a professional platform. So if you want to really excel in the professional world, LinkedIn is one place I tell people, get on LinkedIn if anywhere. So I think that one can be unplugged from social media. You just have to figure out what, if it makes sense for you and your professional and social advancement to do that. There are consequences.
Well, I teach in the School of Communications, and for my students, I tell them that they have to be on social media. They can select the ones that they want to be on, but generally, most employers are going to check their accounts, and because they want someone who's social media savvy, if they're not, it may mean that they may not be considered for the job. Mm-hmm. So I tell them to be familiar with it, at least set up an account and monitor it and keep it safe so that when some, and post to it on a regular basis. It doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't even have to be every week, but it has to be updated enough so when somebody, a recruiter, is looking at your information, they feel safe to say that this is somebody that knows how to handle social media.
202-319-7810. Fred calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Fred. What's on your mind?
Yes, I don't know if it's been talked about, but recently or lately, I've been receiving a lot of messages from people that I'm either friends with or not friends with, and they're telling me that they got a friend request from me.
Ah, yeah, and let me stop you there, Fred, because that's where we started the program. And as we discussed then, ignore it. Just delete it. Just it's a hoax. Fred?
Yes, yes, thank you, I got it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, just ignore it, just delete it. And just keep it moving. I suspect it will eventually stop. So,
yeah. You're just a okay. popular person, Fred. Everyone wants to be friends with Fred. That's all.
There you go. And speaking of popularity, what do you do, when you're constantly getting a friend request about, you know, blocking, you know, people if you are, you know, particularly popular, particularly beautiful or what have you, and people just kind of keep trying to get at you. How do you address that?
Well, there are a few ways I do it. I actually even now have about 400 plus friend requests that have set my from. You can either ignore it. I just ignore most of them, and so they just sit there. Or if you feel so inclined, you can physically ignore them by declining all of them. You can click decline. So that's one thing that you can do. If you have a professional page, let's say you're like you, Harold, you have 4,999 friends on Facebook, you can send them a message and say, please like my professional page. That's one way to do it. If you know you're popular and you want to have barriers, some people like to keep their Facebook profile and their social media profile very personal, and they want, you know, the general public to follow them in their professional page. I would say create a professional page if you don't already have one and tell people to like that page. And that way they feel connected, but you still have that barrier. Another thing you can do is, if you do feel like accepting them, on Facebook, you can actually create profiles for your friends. So when you friend someone, everyone doesn't have to have the same amount of access. You can shift your access. So I have access for, I have a limited profile. I have a friends and family profile. I have people who I went to school with. At one point when I got on Facebook for business reasons, which is the original reason why I got on, I even have a I have no idea who you are category where I friend them. Because we have maybe 20 to 175 friends in common. So clearly I might have met you somewhere, but I have no idea who you are. So I might still accept the friendship because I know who you're connected to, but you don't really have access to see anything but my name and like general public accounts.
Mm-hmm. What is the best advice as we continue to move forward in this interconnected world, Ingrid? Because as I mentioned, the reality is that, you know, old or young, no matter what your socioeconomic status happens to be, whether you are, you know, a bricklayer or a CEO or a CEO of a bricklaying company, you're going to have to be connected. Give me a couple of must-dos to make sure that your social media footprint is protected.
Well, I think that you can be selective in who you become friends with and who you connect with online. I don't think you have to connect with everybody. In my LinkedIn profile, there are a whole set of people that I have not connected with because, A, I didn't think I had enough in common with them. I didn't know where they were coming from. I didn't know how we were connected. So I just don't make friends with them, or I don't link. Become connected with them. I think the same thing with Facebook. There's a whole set of people that I have not connected with. So you just have to be a little bit more a little bit more specific about who you're going to be friends with and take it very seriously. When Facebook started, I became friends with everybody who reached out to me. I was friends. If you reached out to me in Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, I was like, yes, let's be friends. But since I'm aware of all of these other things that can happen to you online, and not just with breaches, you know, some of it may even be personal security, I'm a little bit more selective about who I'm going to connect with. And I think that's the best thing that you can do. And you can also take a break. You know, you don't have to be online every single day, all hours of the day, day and night. You can just take a break, and that way things kind of ease off. And also, you don't have to respond to everybody who reaches out. Mm-hmm. Everybody feels that just because somebody reaches out to you on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, you have to respond. You don't have to do anything. It's nothing that you have to do. And sometimes it's best to do just nothing.
Mm-hmm. Takiyah, I'll let you have the last word.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You take a break, go on a hiatus. I typically take a social media break every now and then. Sometimes I'm not able to do it. I may take a personal social media break, but still post for business reasons, or if I have something to do with a client or personally, or have something going on that I need mm-hmm. to promote. But I will say that, you know, you have to decide what makes sense for you. And as I mentioned, deal with the consequences. You can decide not to be on social media at all, but recognize that you may be unplugged around certain things, or you can be completely engaged and recognize that you leave yourself open, or you can kind of be in between where you really manage your relationship with social media and recognize what works for you. On the business side, some platforms are better for your audience than others. So then you can decide which ones make sense. You could say, you know what, Facebook personal profile is really for my friends and family, and then I want to use the Facebook page for more open things. So you just decide. There are many resources and tools out there about how to use social media. I think if you want to use it for business or personal, I think it's best to educate yourself and figure out what makes the most sense for you in your life.
I think maybe what I'll do for my 4,999 friends, I'll ask them each for a dollar and see what happens.
Yes.
That sounds good.
And I'll split
great.
It with you guys.
Yeah,
there you go.
I'll facilitate that.
Yeah. Yeah. That last comment was spam. Takiyah Young and Ingrid Sturgis, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, October 9th. I'm Harold Fisher. Stay with us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.